We hear you. Oh, we hear how restless you are in that work Zoom call. You want to see what's happening in the world of sport in the quiet, don't you? Scroll through the OTB Sports app, catch the latest sports headlines, and bookmark those podcasts you want to get stuck into as soon as this meeting is over. Nobody will know. The OTB Podcast Network with GetSet Go. Are you ready for quick start car insurance? Get a quote today at GetSetGo.ie.
James, I think we all need to catch our breath after that. A truly bananas game of hurling, really. Waterford, it seems like a lifetime ago, Waterford probably started the better. They looked like they were absolutely the dominant team. Then Galway, they got the kick of life. Yeah. And just a crazy, crazy, really game of hurling here. It's one of those where you just take a breath is the only real thing to do after a game like that.
Yeah, you couldn't have your head down looking at statistics like you would. The game has such a frantic pace. It took off to a great start, and I thought Waterford from the very beginning, and say they were going to, they really brought it to Galway. Say they were using the width, the parameters of the pitch really well. They were spreading the Galway defence. They were creating massive space inside in the Galway backline, and it was doing real damage. They were 4 or 5 points up, and then I suppose after the water break, Galway weathered the storm, got on top, let's say, and then finished the half with 2-4 without reply. So a really good response from Galway in the second half of the first half.
That was the thing, really, because I think we were even joking just before half time, maybe just after the water break, just how dominant Waterford were. That Waterford half back line, they surrounded the middle. Every time the ball went forward, they went charged forward in threes and fours. They were creating. Scored the goal after 2 minutes, but created a number of other goal opportunities as well, and caused a lot of bother to Galway in that opening, say, 15 minutes or so.
Yeah, no, I know I said before the game started there was a bit of a championship feel about that, and you got that from the start, and both teams were kind of feeling each other out. But I don't think Galway got to grips with what Waterford were doing for at least 20 minutes. You know, it took up to the water break for Galway to really, I suppose, pick the pieces together and see where they're going, because Waterford were, especially from the half-back line, they were creating a serious platform. Callum Lyons and Azzy Gleeson were taking runs up through the middle, and they were creating spaces set up in the forwards for Jesse Hutchinson and Stephen Bennett, and Galway just couldn't catch their breath, no more than ourselves doing the analysis. But again, they slowly grounded out, they slowed the pace of the game down a small bit. They were against the breeze here. Now the breeze is not what it's like been before, say, in bad conditions, but still it was worth 3 or 4 points to a team. So I think what Galway did is they slowed the puck out, they managed the game a bit better in the second quarter, and then they kind of dragged themselves back into it, and then you had a couple of moments of brilliance in the forwards from Cannon and Brian Cannon and Conor Whelan, and they turned the whole game and said after the 2-4 without reply before half time.
Yeah, look, you're a man that knows, you know, Cannon very, very well. Obviously hurled together so many years, went to war together so many years, but he showed his class here tonight, and I know, look, it's the age old debate here, particularly even in the last week. It's like, was he's been lined out in midfield for a number of times. I think today, I think the word that Shane used afterwards was fluid. He was that kind of going in at the edge of the square, coming out, but couple of moments of magic, really. You know, he got his goal as well, but just that little touches and stuff. The age-old debate, I think for me today, he answered the question. It's edge of the square, and kind of let him almost have that free roll when depending on the course of the game. Where for you, where do you slot him into this team? Where is he most effective for Galway?
You see, the trouble is, you look at him, like, he's got such skill, and he's got such a great brain. You can play him from anywhere from number 8 up to number 15, you see. And that's why people kind of get caught in that. What will he do for you at midfield? What will he do for you at wing forward? But for me, looking at him throughout the years, he's most dangerous when he's at 14. If I'm an opposition goalkeeper, I don't want to see Seamus Cannon at 14. I don't want to see TJ at 14. I want to see them as far away from the goal as possible. So when you have someone like Joe inside of 14, he can unlock a defence with a moment of magic. One key flick that 9/10 of hurlers can't do. So when you have that inside, you create an amazing amount of danger, but also the defence would be somewhat nervous with him there as well. And again, look, he showed his class here today. Like, scored a sideline, scoring freeze, scoring from play, unlocks for 2 goals, gets one himself, and he's just all-round top-class performer. 14 is the place for me.
Okay, well, let's talk about the opposite end of the spectrum then as well. You touched about who you didn't want in front of you. Who would you prefer? Again, it's another Galway debate. Obviously, we'll talk about Waterford in a couple of minutes as well, but it's another debate. Is it Dahi Burke at the edge of the square, or does he swap places with Garage McInerney, GMAC? Where do they go? Again, for you, is the goalie looking out? Obviously, look, they're both good options, but who do you think is more? You know, it's all about slotting kind of players into positions now. It's coming to the championship as well. What do you think works best here?
You touched on it there a minute. You're slotting players, so that's plural. So you look at defensive teams nowadays, or systems, should I say. It's not just about who's going to be 3, who's going to be 6. It's the unit. So I'm looking at, let's say, 2 to 7. And who is the greatest balance of unit there? So I think GMAC at 3 and Dahi at 6 gives a great unit. Dahi can cover, obviously, 5, 6, 7. He can get forward. He can score. Do you know what I mean? He's obviously unreal in the air. So you're not really you're not losing too much by putting Garage at fullback, and but you're gaining, I think, a lot more. You're gaining probably a premier athlete in the half-back line who can go forward, who can defend, and he can also pick up the top marksman of any team around in the half-forward line. So you look who will probably be facing in the Leinster Championship is most likely Kilkenny, and you put Doughty on TJ Reid, you've got a great battle there. Doughty's marked him before, kept him scoreless in play before, so I think they're probably one eye on that also.
Yeah, and he also scored a point from about 70 yards there in the second half. There isn't a lot of, it wasn't a big crowd in here, but the whole place just got up and clapped. It was one of those wow moments.
Well, clapped and I laughed because I suppose he's been trying that for a good while, isn't he? he had a wide beforehand, so he was bound to get one. The game, I suppose, kind of lost a bit of his championship feel about it after about 45 minutes. A lot of subs came on. I think 14 players came in the second half, and it just kind of, it drowned out a small bit. It became a bit of a challenge game feel about it, and I just think there was more of a situation, guys getting a run. That's why you see a lot of the shots in the last quarter were from kind of far out positions, which resulted in a lot of wides, and that's where his point, I think, opened up for him, and he got him there. Not taken away from him, obviously, he's a little between the posts, but you know, he won't find himself there too many times.
Well, you touched on that there as well. The last 5-10 minutes almost were, the pace were gone. It was 100 miles an hour earlier on. It did calm down. Is that reflective, really, of the way the league structure has kind of fallen out and is kind of going to peter over the line a little bit now? Because it's unlikely now, it looks like all certain, that Tipperary with the head-to-head will probably finish top. How do you deal if you're a player in that type of situation? Obviously, the league at times as well as, you know, almost the forgotten child, you know, in terms of, you know, how do you deal with it? It is a priority. Championship is coming so fast around the corner as well. Mm-hmm. You're talking about 4 weeks before Galway are out. It's 3 weeks for Waterford, and then if they were to progress through Munster, it's 3 games in 4 weeks. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. You got to manage things. So the next round of league games next weekend, well, there is big clashes there. It's probably going to be a bit of game of, a little bit hide of poker, or
I'm just thinking about Waterford here, let's say, and they could potentially draw Tipperary in the Munster Championship if they come through clear. And suppose they're playing them now in their last league game with not much to play for, so there's going to be a huge element of shadow boxing there. I think Liam Cahill will look at this game and probably games previous, and I think he's learned what he's had to learn. So I don't think he's going to find out Anthony too major in the last game of the league, because essentially they're not really in a position to win it or even challenge for the winner. So I think he's going to have serious eyes on the championship coming. Probably this week he'll probably load them up, trying to get a bit more mileage into the legs, because like that, Waterford and Galway alike are only back a couple of months, and trying to get a bit of mileage into the legs, trying to get the fitness, keep it topped up and conditioning, and roll into the Munster Championship. Well, Galway on the other hand, they have an extra week, so they're probably still in a position to challenge for league honours. But like I said before, that Tip would probably most likely come through the Waterford game. They'll probably finish top on the head-to-head. So I think Galway will be looking at, again, today's performance. They put Joe back into 14, they put Cahill into midfield, and they put Doughty at 6. And I think Shane O'Neill, will say, against top-class opposition like he had here, will be very happy with what he's seen so far. So
yeah, and look, let's speak on Waterford as well. As I said, they touched on the start of the game. I thought they were incredible for 10-15 minutes. I thought they blew Galway out of the water. That half-back line looks ultra-solid. Again, it's another debate who plays 6. Mm-hmm. Austin Gleeson was back there today, probably helped by the numbers and the fact that he could. You know, we saw a couple absolutely burning runs up through the middle as well. You're, again, where do you think Waterford are best served? You know, he was so effective, I thought, inside against Cork in a game that they struggled in, but I thought he was still quite effective. I think he's better personally closer to goal. Again, slotting players into positions. Where are you going here with him? Obviously, yeah, the big thing as well is injuries. And
you took the words of my mouth there. I'm looking at the, you know, I think, when you consider where Waterford are at the minute, I don't think you can play anyone less than 6, only Ozzie at the minute. Obviously, Tadhg Dearc is a huge loss. Suffered a bad injury in the final last year. I think if he was here, he'd probably be slotting into 6, slash kind of a sweeper role, and give Ozzie a bit more freedom to go into the midfield or half-forward line. But they don't have that luxury at the minute now, so I think they're... I think Kevin, he hasn't actually played that many games from a starting perspective, so I'm not sure what the plan is for him. But again, if you're looking at the league as a whole, Ozzie played most of it. Played most of his minutes.
There we go. Still have a few friends left in the camp.
Played most of his minutes. Yeah, very unprofessional with him, guys, isn't there? Yeah.
Well, let's say you've, as I said, you know, spoke about Cannon. You've gone to war with so many of those players.
That's him there shouting like a child. Yeah.
He's only saying good things about you, but again, like look at Waterford. I thought you look at the likes of the Bennetts were very effective inside. I thought Desi Hutchinson, as the game came on, was created a lot of trouble. Again, they're plus points for Waterford. It's a case, really. I think if you're Liam Cahill, you're trying to get things lined up, probably go that little bit deeper and get early ball. You saw the amount of goal opportunities they created early doors.
But then the first half they created a lot of opportunities. But I'm looking at this, and like when you consider Waterford's home ground is Walsh Park, which would be notorious for a breeze as well. In the second half here, they could not get the ball past the middle third. They could not clear it at all. So in the first quarter, oh, sorry, did I say the first quarter of the second half, Desi Hutchinson was the only man who caused any bit of threat whatsoever. He was in the 13 corner for most of the JLSA coming out with the ball, and beyond that, Waterford really struggled to create something. So I'd be kind of slightly concerned about the amount of opportunities they create when the going went tough and it got hard, and they kind of really did lose an awful lot of the 50-50 ball. In the first half, when things were going well, they were winning an awful lot of the 50-50 ball. Shots were working for them. I suppose they had the luxury of the wind at their back. But then in the second half, when things came a bit unstuck, they just couldn't get the ball past the Galway half-back line. Ultimately, they paid the price for it.
And look, finally, before we let you go home, you're a goalkeeper by nature. It's in your blood. First time back at an inter-county game since you hung up the hurl and the boots. You come out here, you see goals. You're going to have nightmares tonight now. 7 goals and how many other chances created as well. Would you have a few nightmares, or do you think maybe that was a good decision to get
it? There was a couple of them there. I was looking at them. Jeez, could I save them? Yeah. Look, I'm privileged to be in a position now, first of all, to even be here. Second of all, I say, when you're up there, it's a different setting entirely. Down there on the ground, the ball is coming 100 miles an hour. The body's going everywhere. The breeze is in your face. You know, it's a lot different than certainly the comfort of a press box. I'll tell you, my day is done. I'm happy to be up there now these days. Yeah.
Well, actually, just on that then as well, finally, you spoke about different angles. Have you a different appreciation now in terms of how, particularly even you go to your home patch, really, in the terms of puck outs and stuff like that? Obviously so important. We saw how Limerick kind of absolutely killed Cork from their own puck outs last night as well. Do you see a different angle of it here? Is there a different appreciation of it? Or
yeah, and you know, I can understand. Let's say I've been in goals for years, and if you chance a certain puck out or hit a certain puck out, you can nearly hear a groan from the crowd, or you can hear, let's say, kind of, he shouldn't have gone there, why did he go there? Because your perspective from facing, I suppose, perpendicular to the pitch is far different than facing parallel. So when I'm in the goals, I'm looking basically, I have a 90 degree, maybe 110 degree of a view, whereas here you've got full view. And I think it is a different perspective. I think you get a false sense of security when you think there's more space than there is, looking from the crowd or looking from the press. When you're in the goals, all you see is ground level bodies and straight line bodies everywhere, and you're trying to get the ball up and down and into a patch of space within 3 or 4 seconds. And I suppose the degree of difficulty is a lot harder to execute there on the goals than it is to come to ball it up here.
So what you're really saying is you can justify all the complaints about your puckouts over the years.
I can justify it, and I can take them on board, and then Waterford looks back at this stage. Yeah.
Very good. Thanks very much for joining us today, James. We'll hopefully see you and criticise more puckouts in the weeks ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. Right. Cheers.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetSetGo. Are you ready for quick start car insurance? Get a quote today at GetSetGo.ie.